northeast India, there is a hilly state called Meghalaya, and it means the abode of clouds in Sanskrit. And in this area, the monsoons are extraordinarily heavy. They're so heavy that the rivers running through the valleys go wild and unpredictable. They become impossible to cross. And so centuries ago, the villagers crafted a solution. They planted strangler fig trees on the riverbank. And then they coaxed the roots of the strangler fig trees across the river. They coaxed those roots until eventually they took hold on the other side of the river. The roots were slowly woven and bound together over time. And by doing so, the villagers created a sturdy, living bridge that could withstand troubled waters. A bridge that could withstand the deluge of those summer monsoons. Now, the labor of creating a living bridge wasn't able to be completed in any one person's lifetime. And so the knowledge about how to coax and bind the roots had to be passed on from one generation to the next, to each successive and younger generation. In this way, the knowledge and the ability to cross those monsoon-laden waters is retained, and a network of living roots is formed. That network of roots creates bridges in the valleys of the villagers' lives. As a community of faith, we too are creating living bridges that can connect us side by side, gathering us, harvesting our power. Those bridges allow us to work and learn together, passing our knowledge across the generations. When tragedies strike, when personal losses occur, when there are outbreaks of violence or ecological disaster, we need those supportive connections. We also need them in order to share the passion and the joy of our lives as well. And of course, a bridge is not a one-way proposition. It's a practice of mutuality in which knowledge and experience moves back and forth across age and difference. Meaningful relationships and meaning itself get forged through that back and forth movement. The work of nurturing such a practice is a collaborative, participatory community process. It requires the fiery commitment of the entire congregation. And this morning, as I've told you, I want to focus our attention on the multi-generational aspect of this bridge building. Becoming a truly multi-generational spiritual community isn't just a matter of having a diversity of age groups in our midst. We are so fortunate in this congregation to have infants and toddlers and elementary and middle school age children and youth and young adults and middle adults and older adults. But to be truly multi-generational is more than that. It has to do with these age groups relating to one another, growing and living in faith through common experiences, service, and interactive sharing. Unitarian Universalism is taking a hard look at how well we are doing at forging multi-generational connections and experiences. And our Unitarian Universalist understanding is being informed by the way that we have long organized Sunday, including how we do religious education programs for our children and our youth. The current Unitarian Universalist model of Sunday school, maybe some of you know, do you know when it began? Began in the 20th century. It is not new. It has remained relatively unchanged since then. It worked well, or at least we've always said it worked well. That long-standing practice of segregating ourselves by age has had tremendous benefits, and it's also had unintended and negative consequences. Our religion is grappling now with those consequences. For one, Unitarian Universalist children and youth have weak connections to our faith and to their congregations outside of Sunday school. As high school seniors, they bridge. Some of you have been to services where we have a bridging ceremony. They bridge to adulthood. After turning 18, they are asked to move from classroom-based participation on Sunday mornings, which they have long understood as Sunday morning, to being in the sanctuary. Another challenge is that the current structure doesn't adequately address the changing demographics, family structures, and societal norms that we're facing. Finding volunteers to teach on Sunday mornings is more difficult than ever. It's much more difficult than it used to be. The number of available volunteers is just not there. And the volunteer pool is not sustainable long term. It was very different in those days when one parent working outside the home was more of the norm for many of our church families. That is rarer now. Beyond those concerns, the pace of modern life and the tendency we all have of overscheduling, right? That affects families disproportionately in their ability to participate regularly in church and in lots of other areas too. And there's a lot of competition for family time all week long and on Sunday morning. A decline in the number of children and youth in Unitarian Universalism is also of concern, and a few numbers help to tell this story, because I know some people like it concrete. They want to know the numbers. Since 2008, Unitarian Universalism has seen a slight decline in overall membership until 2018. That year, there was a slight increase for the first time in a decade. Hallelujah. However, religious education enrollment for children and youth began dropping in 2002, and it continues to fall. I'm talking about Unitarian Universalism writ large. So for a decade, plus, while adult membership has remained relatively stable, children's religious education numbers shrank by 27%. I think if that doesn't concern us, we need to have a lot more conversation. So in 2018, there were 148,242 adults and 40,269 children and youth. Now, there are a number of factors that account for that kind of drop. including the way we do church. It's not the only factor, but it is a factor. Other factors are the drop in the birth rate, millennials not bringing their children to church, and church attendance losing to competing demands like sports and other activities. Our congregation has continued to see a healthy number of children and youth. And it's important for us to acknowledge that. And in some ways, we haven't experienced the kind of decline that other congregations are experiencing, especially our congregations in the New England area. However, for years, our congregation has in fact seen a slow decline in the numbers of children and youth, even as we have often described those numbers as growing. There's another consequence of our age segregation. And this is the one that troubles me the most. It's the relational one. It's the weak bonds among the ages. Based on her research and analysis of faith formation in Unitarian Universalism, Kimberly Sweeney, who is a credentialed religious educator, says this: knowing and being known by people of all generations needs to be an expectation of congregational life. There is clear evidence that young people benefit from multiple sustained relationships outside of their immediate family. To grow up healthy, our youth need to be supported and known by at least 5 adults, in addition to their parents or caregivers, who are willing to invest time with them personally and spiritually. Very often, Unitarian Universalist congregations report wanting more multi-generational experiences, yet they aren't being given such opportunities with the young people in our congregations. Effective religious socialization, she says, comes about through embedded practices. That is, through specific, deliberate religious activities that are firmly entwined with the daily habits of family routines and of being part of a community. She says, we need multi-generational connections, but mainstream culture conspires to keep the generations apart and isolate them from each other. Our congregations are one of the last places in our society where people of all ages can come together. I hear again and again from adults in this church that they wish to know our children and youth better. There's a genuine longing to know them. The need for these relationships is reflected by the words of Tokopa Turner in her book, and you heard her reflection on eldership, what it means to be an elder, what it means to young people, what it means to the elder. One of our cherished Unitarian Universalist values is connection, interconnection. Right? We care about relationality and about sharing our stories, ensuring that each of us knows and is known by others in community. The realities of contemporary religious life invite us to explore new approaches to how we are building those connections across the ages. Now, for any of you who are feeling anxious in this moment, this doesn't mean that this congregation is suddenly going to throw out our religious education program, or that we're suddenly going to stop doing worship the way we do worship, or that we're suddenly going to quit gathering as a community in the ways that we gather. But it does mean that we need to continue to explore and experiment to form living bridges that can deepen our experiences of each other. And when I say each other, I mean not just those of us here in the sanctuary, but can you hear those in the adjoining space? Right? We've been trying out some different practices for several years. Has anybody noticed that we've been experimenting? I'm serious. Have you noticed? Give me a little, maybe yes. And we're going, well, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm, okay. I'll help you out a little, okay? And then you could say, oh, that's what she's talking about. One of the areas we've been exploring is worship life. A long-standing practice, which has been a good practice, is to have the children remain in the sanctuary for the first 15 minutes of worship, and then to be dismissed to developmentally appropriate classes, mostly by age. We've also had all-ages services, and we'll continue to do some of both of those, and also experiment with some new ways of doing those. One of the things that we started doing last year was we created an activity nook at the back of the sanctuary. That nook, that activity nook, was there to be responsive to the needs of the youngest among us, to those who need to have something to busy their hands and bodies with during that time we're together. If you haven't taken time to visit the nook, I encourage you to go on a Sunday morning for worship and look at what's there. Go and say hello to the parents and children who are there. Find out what they're working on, what they're doing. The choir. Have you noticed anything about the choir? Choir has become all ages, all the time. That doesn't mean that there aren't times when the children or youth sing as a group, but our singers no longer huddle by age. Why would they need to? We have also welcomed the instrumental musical talent of children and youth throughout worship, throughout the year. For the past several years, our youth have been attending at least one worship service a month, in addition to having their youth group programming. Last year's coming of age program with adult mentors paired with youth was a wonderful model of multi-generational interaction. Amazing, incredible opportunities to come together across the ages. For several years, we've also experimented with interactive all-ages worship services. Some of these have been more successful than others. Last year, we increased the number of them, and then we recognized that our youngest ones, and their parents too, needed for there to be some kind of programming for part of that hour. And so we made a shift mid-year. This year, our in-gathering water communion ceremony will include a time for sharing in multi-age small groups, maybe pairs, maybe threes. The intention is to provide a chance for adults and children to interact and hear each other. If you are someone, and I hope you are one of those who's longing for more connection with our children and youth, don't miss that service. Another new effort that I want to lift up comes from our caring circle. Last year, they began sending birthday cards to children and youth registered in the religious education program. This is not perfunctory. This is not look at the list, get out a card, pop it in the mail. We spend a lot of time talking about how to do this well, and I don't know who these children are. I don't know what kind of card to send them. I don't know, how do I find out more about this child? And there was such great love and intention that our Caring Circle members bring to this and have brought to this and continue to bring to this effort. The kinship we long for with those of other ages doesn't just happen automatically. The circle of kinship we're striving for requires that we take risks, that we have a sense of humor and openness. And I'm just going to say to you, I won't give you any examples at this moment, but I can tell you numerous occasions which I have just said some ridiculous thing to some young person in our church community. And you know, I've decided that it's better than not saying anything. Sometimes we also need to be willing and open to change the way we are together and the way we think of being together. And so this morning, Mike's going to help me out here with an image. This morning I want to leave you with a challenge for the coming year. I want to challenge you to be like the villagers who learn to guide the strangler fig tree roots. Be an elder. Begin to thread two new bridges this year. Strive to make two new connections at church from two different age groups. In other words, get to know a child and also get to know an adult of a different age than yours. Feel free to make many, 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 many more connections than that. But here the intention is to really think about how to bridge the divide of the ages. Are you willing to accept this challenge? Okay, if you're willing, I'd like to hear from you about how it's going this year. Let me know, because I'd like for us to come back together in worship in the spring and share our stories. There might be some funny ones and some that went awry, and that's okay. But I'm sure there are going to be some interesting and successful stories of connection. Feel free to let me know even after the service if you're on board, so I can know who to seek out later. I leave you this morning with that challenge. May we all take up that effort. Let us sing our commitment with Fire of Commitment. It's number 1028 in your teal hymnal. This hymn was written to mark a church's 50th anniversary, 50 years of bridge building. And this morning, we're going to sing our commitment to building multi-generational bonds.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.